Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by Nicole Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church.
So back when we first got married, I would like to say a few years ago, but who we kidding, it's probably been a couple decades at this point. And so a couple decades ago, and at this point you're supposed to yell out stuff like, "You look too young!" I was still in the corporate world, and Pastor David and I, we lived in Franklin County out on a farm. We had horses, we had like 6 horses, 5 Dobermans, we had 4 ducks, we had 2 bunnies, we had a Yorkie, we had a barn full of cats, and a partridge in a pear tree. And with that much stuff going on, sometimes you need a handyman. So we had this handyman who would come out occasionally and help us at the house. Well, we'd tell him what we need to do, we'd let him in the house, and then we'd go to work. I still worked in the corporate world. I wore all my suity suits and my little boring pump heels, and I would do all that stuff. And I would drive an hour to Earth City from Franklin County, just right down the road here on Rider Trail. And then at the end of the day, I would drive all the way back out to Franklin County. Well, we hadn't been married long, so David did not realize the depth of my OCD-ness. That all of my earrings go back in their little spot in their little pouch, and all of my necklaces are separated by gold and silver and black and white and red, and that all of my outfits are long sleeve and short sleeve and suits and dresses, and then they're separated by color within those categories. Aren't you glad you don't live with me? And stuff started going missing. I'm like, where are those earrings? Why can't I find those shoes? I have this thing on my shelves called Shelf Talk, and it says black shoes here. Pink shoes here, just in case I get confused one day. Oh, no, you go by the pink shoes. And so I'm like, those shoes are missing. I can't find that sweater. Where's that scarf? And David is like, girl, you lose more stuff than anybody I know. I said, no, I'm not losing this stuff, I promise. He's like, girl, I think you're crazy. And in my head, I'm like, I know you're crazy, so we're equal. And all this stuff keeps disappearing until one day I go to work and I pick out this suit and then I decide not to wear it. Hello. I'll leave it on the hanger. I come back the next day and that suit, the jacket is there, but the skirt is gone. And so a lady had come to help us clean the house that day, so I call her up and I say, hey, yesterday when you were here, did you throw that skirt in the laundry or something? And she says, no, never saw it. Huh. David, I know that skirt's here. He's like, girl, you were taking clothes to the dry cleaner and you were forgetting about them. Like, no, I'm not. I'm not doing this. So I finally start thinking. And the handyman comes one day, and he brings this bag with him, and he sets it by the door. And he never gets in the bag to get tools or anything. So I start getting curious. I wonder what's in the bag. So I say, hey, buddy, why don't you go to the gas station and buy us all some sodas? Here's some money. So he runs up to the gas station. I'm like, hey, while he's at the gas station, David, why don't we go look in his bag? And he's like, woman, don't you dare touch his bag. I'm like, okay. He's like, baby, it is wrong to get in people's things. Uh-huh, tell me about it, honey, and see what it is they got in them, yeah? And he's like, and I swear to you, there is nothing in that bag that belongs to. These are my underpants, David Crank. My dainties, my washables, my clothes, my shoes, my earrings are all in this man's bag. I did not want any of it back. Just saying. I'm going, I forgot I had this shirt, and I didn't know this was around. There was a thief in my house. I was not happy about this. So I call my insurance company, because there's so much gone, I can pay my deductible, and they'll still send me a check to buy my stuff back, because I'm not wearing that anymore. It was nasty. Look at your neighbor and go, that's creepy. I'm just letting you know there are creepy creeps in the world, just for the record. So I go to the insurance company and they say, so how did the thief get access to your home? Did he come through a window? Did he come, you know, did he jimmy a door open? I said, well, no, he would work for us on occasion. We let him in the house. They said, oh, you let the thief in the house. We're not sure we're going to be able to pay your claim. John 10:10 talks to us about a thief. It says the thief does not come except for one reason. He comes to steal. He comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. You see, you can write this down. The thief comes on purpose, and the thief comes with a purpose. He comes on purpose, and he comes with a purpose. It is not random. It is not casual. It is not, it just happened. No, the thief comes intentionally to your life to steal, to kill, and destroy. And there is one thing of higher value in your life than anything else, and I don't know if you know what it is, so I'm going to share it with you, and that is he comes to steal your joy. How many of you can be just happy as can be, and then you get a Facebook message or you get a text message or somebody calls you and you're like, you go from happy to 100% aggravated in 2.2 seconds. That is the enemy coming to steal your joy. Well, why is it an enemy after our joy? Nehemiah 8:10. It says, for the joy of the Lord is your... Oh, wait. So are you telling me if the enemy steals my joy, he gets my... Are your lights going off? If the enemy steals your joy, he gets your... And if he takes your strength, it means you're weak. And if it means you're weak, the enemy can take you out. The enemy is after your joy. How many of you have had your joy tested this past week? Let's just be honest. The enemy comes after your joy to get your strength. He takes your strength, and then you're weak. He gets you weak. He takes you out. The enemy comes with a purpose. The enemy comes on purpose. So on Halloween night, I went to bed. In the middle of the night, I get up to go to the bathroom. I highly suggest you do that. Get up to go to the bathroom. And as I get up to go to the bathroom, I start praying. You know, you get kind of cold in the middle of the night because you had your covers on. And I'm kind of like, Jesus, thank you just for loving me. And God, I just need you. And could you speak to me? And so I just pray on my way to the bathroom. I pray on my way back. And as I'm praying, I hear this in my spirit. I hear, you know, kind of very matter-of-fact tone. I hear, don't let anything steal your joy. I'm like, okay, this is Halloween night. Waking up first day of November. Nice, crisp fall day is going to be here. Don't let anything steal your joy. I'm like, okay, God. And I wake up the next morning, and I write it in my prayer journal. If you don't have a prayer journal, let me encourage you to get one. Put it on your phone, put it on your computer, put it in a notebook. But if you don't write down what God tells you, if you lightly esteem what God tells you, you don't have to worry about it because he's not going to tell you anymore. God esteems when you esteem him. So if you're looking for his direction, start taking what he says seriously. So I write it down in my prayer journal, and I write down, last night I woke up and heard, very matter of fact, don't let anything steal your joy. It was the Lord. First, I was thrilled to hear from him. We had come home from church because Halloween was on a Monday. We had come home from church, lunch, found out this bunch of trivial junk, and I wrote down what the trivial junk was specifically, and we let it upset us, and we let it wreck our night. I put dumb, period. Not anymore. I'm not going to let anything steal my joy. So I get done with my prayer time and my journal time, and I'm like, oh, red light, not going to let it steal my joy. Oh, traffic, not going to let it steal my joy. Oh, I'm Sister Super Christian. A cloud just came over my day. Not going to let it steal my joy. I'm just feeling so good. I'm feeling so empowered. I'm feeling so strong because I'm not going to let anything steal my joy. And I get to the office, and a couple hours later, I get some of the worst news that I could have personally ever gotten. Do you hate it when something is taken from you? Something that you like, something that you love, something that you want, someone that you want. You have no control over it. You can't do anything about it. And as I'm sitting in this meeting, my eyes start to well up with tears. And you just, you know, you're like, don't cry, but you can't stop it. So I'm like, if you guys will excuse me, I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'll just be right back. And I get to the bathroom. I'm like, God, you got to help me with this. He said, I told you don't let anything steal your joy. I'm like, well, God, I didn't let the traffic light steal my joy. And last night, I'm not going to let that trivial stuff steal my joy. He said, no, I told you don't let anything steal your joy. You see, when God gives you a word, he doesn't waste his breath. If he's going to tell you something, it's because you're going to need some handles to hold on this ride that you're about to go on. So as I'm holding on, I'm like, okay. Matthew 24:43 says, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, if I had known that that little sucker was stealing my stuff, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. He said, just the way you were letting that guy into your house to steal your stuff, I just want to let you know the thief has come to steal your joy. You didn't close the door. You opened the door. He said, you didn't even only open the door. You're inviting the enemy in to steal your joy right now and take your strength, Nicole Crank. I wanted to share with you right now, God is telling us, I want you to close the door. When that guy started stealing my stuff, I bought a deadbolt, I bought an alarm system, and I bought security cameras. Ain't no sucker coming to my house and take my stuff. I'll come to your house and I'll get it back. God says, I want you to close the door. I want you to put on a spiritual deadbolt. I want a spiritual alarm system, and I want some spiritual security cameras in your life. Quit opening the door and inviting the devil in to come and steal your joy with any little thing that comes along and you don't like. You need to close the door, deadbolt that sucker out, put on the alarm system, and say, you're not taking my joy, devil. Not today. We're supposed to count it all joy. Count it all joy. So I pull myself together in the bathroom. Okay, God, I'm not going to let the enemy steal my joy. Not going to let anything steal my joy. Not going to let anything steal my joy. Work my way through the rest of the day. Probably every 60 seconds in my head, I say, I'm not going to let anything steal my joy. I'm not going to let anything steal my joy. By the time I get to dinner, I'm pretty normal, I think. Am I ever pretty normal? I don't know. I'm not going to let anything steal my joy. I go to bed. I didn't even have to take a Tylenol PM. I was so excited. So the next day, I get up, I come to the office, and I get socked with just another batch of news that I'm like, I didn't see that coming from 100 miles away. God, you're kidding me. I mean, I'm about on my knees. He's like, are you opening the door? No, sir. No. He's like, you got your alarm system on? Yes, sir, my spiritual alarm system is on. He's like, those security cameras happening? I'm like, yes, sir, those security cameras on. He said, are you letting anything steal your joy? I said, no, sir, not with this system I got going on right here. There's nothing stealing my joy. He's like, you get in there, you finish that meeting. I didn't even leave the meeting. I'd left the meeting mentally. He's like, you get in there, you finish that meeting, and you don't let anything steal your joy. I say, yes, sir, I will sit in here. I will sit in this meeting. I will count it all joy no matter what happens to me. Joy is not what happens to you. Joy is what happens through you. Amen? Somebody give God a hand clap of praise. Joy happens through you. Joy comes from heaven. Joy is your strength. And where we get confused is we look with our natural eyes and we see obstacles. We look with our natural eyes and we see problems. And something God shared with me this week, you see obstacles. I see opportunities. He says, you're looking at the wrong thing. You're looking with your natural eyes. Which gets me to about the next day. The next day, I'm sleeping. And I get up to go to the bathroom. It's the night before the 3rd of November. And I get up to go to the bathroom, and I start to pray, God, just thank you, God. I incline my ear to you. I thank you, God, that I'm not letting anything steal my joy, Lord Jesus. And he said, be quiet. Don't say anything. Okay, God, I won't say anything. I'll keep my mind just, he said, I don't say anything. Don't say anything. Oh, yes, sir, I won't say anything. Don't say anything. Okay, do my business. Ooh, that's cold. No, don't say anything. I headed back to bed. I'm doing my best to lay down and not say anything. I lay there for a minute. I start praying because I'm like, oh, God, this is just like rude to you. I got to say, he's like, don't say anything. I'm like, well, finally got it. Laying there, finally fall asleep. As I'm sleeping, I wake up in the middle of the night and I hear three words: stop, look, and listen. I think that's on railroad tracks or school buses or something. I don't know what it's on, but I've seen it before. I hear stop, look, and listen. And I don't say anything. And I go right back to sleep. And I just want to let you know, I don't hear God speak to me quite this frequently. You know what I'm saying? How many of you know God has spoken something to you and then it happened a certain way and you knew God had led you and God had spoken to you? God doesn't talk to me every day. I pray I get to a place where he does. But he must know that, one, this is a word for you, and two, it's a word for this time. So he's sharing these very specific nuggets with me. And he says, stop, look, and listen. So I get up the next morning, and I get my prayer journal. God told me, don't say anything. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I'm not sure what I would have unleashed with my tongue on my life, but I'm not going to say anything. He also told me to stop. He told me, stop. And in the Bible, there's a word called sila. It says pause and calmly, hello, think about that. How many of you, when you're mad, you don't want to calmly think about nothing? He says, pause and calmly think about that. And then he says to me, stopping doesn't have anything to do with your mouth, does it? No, sir. He said, don't say anything. Yes, sir. Then it says, look. And he says, I want you to start looking at things with your spiritual eyes. He said, the problem is you've been looking at what's going on in the world with your natural eyes. Therefore, you're letting it upset you. You can't see what I see. You don't know what I know. You don't know where I'm going. You don't know how I'm getting there. Would you quit walking by sight and not walking by faith? Would you start putting on your goggles of the Spirit and start seeing things in the Spirit, how I see them? Don't walk by sight. Walk by faith. Put on your spiritual goggles. I want you to look through your spiritual goggles. Yes, sir. That doesn't have anything to do with your mouth, does it? No, sir. Don't say anything. Yes, sir. I'm detecting a pattern here. Then he said, listen. He said, I don't want you to listen to the world. I don't want you to listen to the news. I don't want you to listen to Facebook. I don't want you to listen to gossip. I don't want you to listen to history. I don't want you to listen to how it has been done. I don't want you to listen to how you think it's going to go. I want you to listen to me. Incline your ear unto the Lord. Thank you. Incline your ear unto the Lord. He said, that doesn't have anything to do with your mouth, does it? I said, no, sir. He said, so don't say anything. I said, yes, sir. You would think by the end of this talk, I would know not to say anything. But that evening, third day in a row, it's Thursday. Our day off is Friday. It's Ashton's birthday. We saved up our points to fly her friend into town, and we used our hotel points. How many of you know we travel a lot? So these are the benefits, and I work these benefits like a bad dog. I'm a monster at figuring out how to use points. And we get ourselves a beach hotel so we can go to the beach, and it's got a really cool pool, and it's got a really cool restaurant, and she's going to have this little party because my little precious thing, she lives in two cities, and she does the best job being a preteen managing relationships that she's only there half the time for. I'm like, I really want to love on this girl. So her friend flies in from the airport. And traffic is monstrous. So we're in the airport. We are stuck in this traffic. And David sees this little grassy knoll. And he says, the only thing between us and freedom, the exit to this airport is right there. All we have to do is cross the grassy knoll. I'm like, there's another famous grassy knoll, and nothing good happened there. And I said, sweetie, it looks like maybe it could be a ditch. Maybe it goes down before it goes up. And we're in an SUV. I'm not sure our car's going to go like that. I think our car wants to go like this. He says, oh, I'll be quiet. I know what's going on. I'm going to save us a half an hour. Watch me go. I'm like, all right, baby. And so he goes, and we go. We not only ended up in a ditch, we were in the Florida swamp. We look out the window, and the water is about this far away from coming into the car. My husband's like, we're four-wheel drive, no problem. We'll get out of this. Lower. Lower. My head is out the window. The water is now this far from coming into the car. Three girls, five suitcases, husband and a wife, two dogs. I'm like, baby, I don't know if we're getting higher. I think we could possibly be getting lower. I'm not sure we're going to get out this way. He said, stop yelling at me. I said, baby, I'm not yelling at you. I'm just talking. He said, stop talking to me. And right then I heard in my head, don't say. I'm like, God, I got you. I just sat there with my little wifey smile on. I'm not saying anything. I'm not letting anything steal my joy. Finally, after about 15 minutes of him realizing we're going to need scuba tanks to get out of here, we decided to call a rental car company and a tow truck to get out. When the rental car comes, we step into the swamp. Barefoot, because I ain't ruining my shoes. And we wade on through. And we load the luggage into the rental car while my husband goes to wait for the tow truck. And we go to the hotel. When we get to the hotel, which we have been to before, so we know what to expect. This hotel is cool. We are ready to just wow her friends and have a good time. Except for the hotel is closed for renovations, so they only have this little bitty corner open, so there is no pool, there is no gym, there is no restaurant, there is no anything. Matter of fact, the lobby of the hotel, I know I have weird voice on because I am super annoyed, is like the side entrance to the hotel in a hallway. It is nasty. Nasty. And this is my daughter. She's like, Mama, we're not even going to get to go swimming. I'm like, baby, Mama's going to fix this. Don't let anything steal my joy. I am covered in swamp mud. The night is a waste, and it's about 9 o'clock at night at this point in time. I go up to the front desk, and I'm like, you know, I'm really sorry, but we didn't know the hotel was on reservations, because y'all didn't put it on your website. But I mean, if I can find another hotel, would you please give me my money back, or my points? And they said, oh, absolutely, we'll give you a refund, but you're not going to be able to find another room in town. There's a conference. So I get on the phone. It takes an hour and a half to negotiate getting my points back, finding another hotel that will take my points, using my points, and now it is 10:30 at night, and even the guy on the phone is saying, ma'am, I have never met anybody as patient as you. And I'm like, you should have known me 48 hours ago. Get off the phone. I walk up to the front desk at 10:30 at night. At this point, we have like 9 whole hours to enjoy the hotel. We're not out yet. And I'm like, hi, I got that other room. We need to go ahead and cancel our room and just refund our points. Manager's not standing there. Instead, I get Snarky Girl. And Snarky Girl says, you ain't getting a refund. I said, you've seen me sitting in this lobby for 90 minutes, haven't you? Your manager said, who you say is my manager? The gentleman who is standing here, he's not here anymore. Who's your manager now? Because I'm really hoping she's not going to say me. I'm really hoping she's not going to say me. Dear Jesus, don't let her say that it's her, because you said be silent. You did not say don't hit anybody. A girl can only take so much, right? And she said, my manager is in the office, which is this hotel room that's right next to us. They've been coming in and out of this hotel room all night long. I said, well, if we could please check with your manager, it would be really nice. She's unavailable. I said, well, you know what? And now there's a line of 2 or 3 people trying to check in. Conference people are flooding in. I said, I'll be happy to wait right here with you until she's available. She's like, I need to check those people in. I'm like, I need to speak with your manager, please. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Not saying anything. And we get out, and they give us our points back. And we go to the other hotel, and we use our points. You see, obstacles. What we see is obstacles. God sees is opportunities. I went through all these things. I'm not saying this hotel or that hotel made a big difference in anything that I know, but what I do know is this. We don't look at things in the supernatural like God looks at in the supernatural. And when we see a problem, God sees a platform. When we see pressure, God sees a promotion. God says, you're looking at the problem, and I need you to look at me. He said, don't you know in Romans 8:28, I work all things together for your good. Don't you believe that I can do it? In Genesis 50:20, it says, the enemy intended to harm you, but I know that God's going to use it not just for me, not just for you. This is bigger than you, baby. It says, I'm going to use it for the saving of many lives. God needs your joy in Him. God needs your strength in Him. God needs your eyes on Him. God needs your mouth in Him, because God's getting ready to do a work in you that's going to make the neighbor jealous. The neighbor needs to get jealous so the neighbor can look at you and say, what do you got that's different? Why do you got joy right now? Why do you got peace right now? And you say, because my joy is not in this world. My joy is not of this world. My joy is in my King and my Savior. Can I get an amen? Woo! 1 minute, they sang that song. I want 3 more. Because we got to talk about the table. You see Psalm 23. He's, you know, you guys know the 23rd Psalm, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He making me lay down in green pastures. He leadeth me behind still waters. He restoreth my soul. Verse 5. Verse 5 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. That's a happy scripture. And I get to thinking, the turkey, the table I would set, the turkey would be crusty and brown on the outside, and it would be juicy and tender on the inside, because in my dreams, turkeys are not dried out. There are candied yams on the table, and there are baked potatoes, and there are big fluffy rolls with not just butter, honey, cinnamon butter, because I think it's even biblical that no calories count on Christmas or Thanksgiving. But we really mentally skip over a very important part of that scripture. It says, in the presence of your enemies. He says, when the obstacles are all around you, when you look on the right and they want to kill you, and you look on the left and they're bad-mouthing you, when you look before you and there's a bad doctor's report, and you look behind you and the checkbook is negative, when you look down and it looks like you're standing on quicksand, and you look up and a storm with a tornado is coming your way, that's when you know that you're in the presence of your enemies. Ooh, he's way up there, man. He's in a boy key. I can't sing that high. The presence of your enemies. It doesn't say when things look good, I'm going to get the good table out. It doesn't say when things are great, I'm going to pull out the china. He doesn't say when you're shining by yourself, that's when I'm going to pull out the goldware. He says, in the presence of your enemies, when the pressure is high, when the problem is big, and things are magnanimous, your eyes are fixed over here on the problem. That's why I need to lock your mouth up, says God, because you'll talk about the problem, you will curse your future, you will magnify that. He said, don't look at the problem. I need you to stop looking at that and start smelling. What's God cooking over here in the kitchen? And why is he cooking something up anyway? I can't see him in the kitchen, but I can smell something happening. That's what I'm doing right now, is I'm wafting out that aroma to let you know there is God in heaven, and he's cooking something up for you. And he's like, let's pull the table out. Let's put in the extender leaf. Somebody get out the linen tablecloth. I got the goldware coming out of the cabinet. I got grandma's good china going on the table. I bought the biggest turkey, and we're setting this baby up right, because I want everybody to know when I get their attention, I'm going to roll this table in the room in the presence of your enemies, and you're going to be the only one eating. Ain't none of them eating. You're eating, baby, because you're the child of the king, and he's going to make your cup run over. Can I get a good amen? And then as I close, because I'm out of time, they're telling me I got to leave. 2 minutes? 2 minutes, 2 minutes? 2 minutes. The best part. The most expensive thing that would go on the table, I would have to assume, would be the wine. And how many of you know, if God had wine, it wouldn't be the Strawberry Hill stuff? I shouldn't even told you I know that. I wasn't always a pastor. It wasn't the Strawberry Hill stuff. If God pulls it out, it's going to be Dom Perignon. It's going to have a vintage on it. And he says, your cup runneth over. Not your plate, not the stuff he grew in the garden, none of that stuff. He says, your cup runneth over. So he says, I'm not worried about running out of the bottle, because I got a couple cases in the back. And if we tap those cases, don't you worry about that, because I actually own the vineyard, says God. So when I say my cup runneth over, I don't give everybody two little sips of the good stuff, because we got to really savor this $250 bottle. He says, I pop the top on that thing, and I just start walking around like this, filling up every cup. That bottle's empty. Give me another one. That bottle's empty. Give me another one. God runs your cup over in the presence of your enemies, which means he's an abundant God. There's not too much for him. He wants to overflow it on you. He wants to overflow it on your table, because he's not just going to solve your problem. He's going to solve your problem in front of your enemies with such abundance, it's going to make everybody notice. Somebody give God a shout of praise. Woo! Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. If you've been looking at your obstacle and not been looking at your opportunity, I want you to go ahead and raise your hand so I can pray for you right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, we apologize for looking at the natural and not looking at the spiritual. And we make an adjustment right now, Lord Jesus. We stop looking at what we can see and we start looking at how big our God is. And you are big enough. You are strong enough. You are mighty enough. You are not only willing, you are able. You have promised. We forget about the problem. We latch onto the problem. We will not speak the problem. We will speak to our God. And right now, I unloose the favor of God on His children. I unloose the blessing of God on His children. I loose the power, the prophet. I unloose healing of God on His children. You're opening doors. You're making ways. You're correcting paths. You're changing things right in this moment, God. We latch onto it, and we thank You for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Give God a hand clap of praise.
For more information about Pastor Nicole's teachings and ministry, visit NicoleCrank.com. We will connect, memories grow.